views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
But I will give Tolkien the literary master that he was his due with that. Like,
it's Tolkien.
And it's Smaug. Fuck off.
It's Leviosa.
I had to.
How did Viggo Mortensen say Legolas? Like he had the weirdest accent in the fucking movies. Peter Jackson had a really good base to go from, because if you go through and read the Silmarillion and the Fellowship of the Rings and the Lord of the Rings trilogy and The Hobbit, it is so rich in all aspects of the story, the light, the dark, you know, all the horror aspects are there written for him, and he is just the master that was able to bring it to screen. You know what I mean? Because Tolkien was very, very, like, the way he describes Gollum in The Hobbit, like, it is horrifying. Mm-hmm. If you are a horror reader and you just see those elements, like, there's so much there.
I've got to say, just based on what you were saying about not being a really big fantasy person, but you are into sci-fi and horror, I'm not a big fantasy person, I'm not a big sci-fi person, and I'm not a big horror person, and I'm a huge, huge Lord of the Rings person. And I think that that's a credit to the way that Tolkien wrote these characters, because if there's one thing I am, it's a feelings-ass bitch. I love a relationship, I love some mushy friendship, feel-good vibes, I love hope. And that is really what these stories provide
for
me.
You like a fellowship.
I love a fellowship, oh, if you will. Oh. I love Two Towers and I love A Return of the King. If there's one thing about me. I don't know, he transcends genre in that way to me.
Hold on, sure. Hold on. So, there's Two Towers and that frame mean double stuff?
Yep.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. Thank you for understanding my double entendre.
I think in modern terms, it's called pulling an Eiffel Tower.
Pulling a Sauron tower.
Yeah, if
he was ahead of his time.
If you're double stuff in a book nerd, it's called a twin tower or two towers. Twin towers is different.
Yeah,
Tolkien, oh God, no. Oh, total what? Freak. Oh. If you really read between the lines, oh, some God. Freaky this, shit.
No, but I think there is something we said that, you know, that we're talking about the biggest fandoms of all. You know, the one fandom to rule them all. There's Lord of the Rings. There's Star Wars. There's Star Trek. What a lot of them share is that there is this balance between different types of genre. Like, mm-hmm. Lord of the Rings is high fantasy, but it does have horror elements to it. Star Wars is sci-fi, but it does have fantasy elements to it. You know, like, there is a little bit of crossover between the different genres that makes it more approachable and more, relatable.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. There's a total balance in these stories. And honestly, to have that balance right off the bat, because if you want to look at it in true light, like, Lord of the Rings original trilogy is right next to the original Star Wars trilogy as far as storytelling.
Like, the Lord of the Rings nerds, like, got on a fucking, like, nitrous rocket ship when Peter Jackson did those books, where they were in the back of the room.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
Like, Lord of the Rings, yeah. Lord of the Rings. And then Peter Jackson put out the movies, and they're like, whoa! And then they were all of a sudden in front.
Exactly. And the fact that it's known, because the fact that Kevin Smith could use that as a joke, where it's nerds fighting their nerddoms, yep. In Clerks 2, mm-hmm. was amazing, mm-hmm. right? Where in the first Clerks, he just had Star Wars, which was literally the only, like, trilogy of that time. But if you look at the source material, Tolkien was the first.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He started that back when he wrote.
That's even a joke in Marvel, where there was one point where Bucky talks about where he had read Lord of the Rings when it first came out.
Exactly. Like, Tolkien was like, way back, hey guys, I did this for a while. Hey.
In the fucking 30s and shit. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
so it's just, you know.
Yeah, awesome. So I am interested to see how we feel about a modern take on just the fucking basically footnotes of the original trilogy.
Yeah.
Just a snippet forward. We're talking about Rings of Power on this episode of Geeks Under the Influence, the new series from Amazon, where it tries to tell the prequel base, kind of what happened before the story that everybody knows, mm-hmm. from Middle Earth, and how they're setting everything up for the story that we know, and if it did right by that universe, or if it did wrong, or what we would want added to it or subtracted from it on this episode of Geeks Under the Influence. All things Rings of Power. Welcome.
Woo! Woo!
There's so much to get into on this, so I'm going to be very quick on the intros, and then we're going to get to Audrey, who had a hand raised. if you remember your point.
Yeah.
First off, of course, my cohort on Deeply Upsetting, we've got Amy Bogard here.
Hello.
Hello. We're going to be releasing episodes in the not-too-distant future.
We are, yay. Yes. We've been on a hiatus. You can totally blame me. We'll get into it on the show.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There you go.
Somebody was getting some learning done.
Yeah.
So,
well.
Yeah. It delayed some releases. Next up, anytime we have a fantasy show episode, we have this next panelist showing up, being like, "Well, actually," and just schools the ever living fuck out of the rest of us.
Oh, can't wait.
what did we decide your last name was on the last?
Atreides.
Yeah. We got Audrey Atreides here.
Yeah. After, you know, how many years I've been on, I finally decided.
You finally get a nickname on the show. Yeah.
I've been Audrey for a long time.
We were talking before recording is that, like, the first time that Amy was on an episode was actually an episode that you were on as well. So mm-hmm. there's this nice kind of coming back together again happening. Speaking of coming together, it's somebody that I come together with on a regular basis. My cohort in coming and on the network and this show.
Yep.
Lowdown Brown MacGyver.
Dry Jacks, people.
Dry Jacks.
It's all about the Dry Jacks. What's going on? I'm excited to talk about this. This is actually a show that I passed over to watch another fantasy show. But like when I got into this show, it took me a second because I was like, I know the source material, I've read it, and I'm like, okay, I understand what they're doing here, but like, yeah, it definitely got me, and there was good. The actors had a lot to do with that, I think. You know, the screenplay is good, the writing's good, but for me, I think a lot of it has to do with the acting choices, because there's a lot of no names or people that have been involved in the industry for a while, but they haven't had anything huge to.
Yep.
Really give, let them, this is like the biggest thing they've done, which, so to say.
I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily.
No. I think it's a good thing. Yeah, I think they did a lot for it.
I think if you had one big name or a bunch of big names, it might have detracted from the.
Like the movies where there's just tons of big names.
Yeah.
But then again, it was Peter Jackson, so he knew how to crack that whip and keep them all in check.
Yep.
True.
But yeah, I mean, I guess it was kind of like. I had to separate that because I was just used to it. It's grandiose and like everybody in it is larger than life, pretty much for the most part, right? I mean,
you've got Midjourney AI Liam Neeson as the head of the elves. You've got what was the other elf?
The guy that I thought was Grey Worm the whole time.
The guy that you thought was Grey Worm mm-hmm. as the other elf that mm-hmm. was there. There was the other elf that I said was the other British actor.
Colin Firth,
the Colin Firth elf that is friends with the dwarf.
Oh my god!
Oh,
holy shit!
Okay, wait. Let me extrapolate on this.
100%. No, like I now I'm looking at his thinking of his face. I'm like, fuck me.
That's Colin Firth. Yeah.
No, but okay, tell me that's not Colin Firth had a baby with Huey from The Boys.
Wait. Are we talking about Elrond,
right?
Because
Elrond is 23-year-old Liam Neeson put through an AI.
You know where you've seen that guy before?
Mm.
Game of Thrones.
Really?
Yes, he played a young Ned Stark.
No, yes, he did. Holy shit, but he had long hair. That's what threw you off because he had long hair back. Yeah, no shit.
Nettered Aloysius Stark.
Yes. Played, yes. No, now that as soon as you mentioned that, yes. Name. Like,
yeah.
I knew him from somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just he had the long wig, mm-hmm. not the short cropped fucking pointy ears.
I just, when I first saw him, I expected him to get on like, a fucking arrow phone or something and be like, I have a particular set of skills that will make that will make stealing the rings much more difficult for you.
So now we just shit canned all that. Now he's just a young Sean Bean, so whatever.
Yeah.
And the man whose people I think we saw a really early rendition of in The Rings of Power. We got Mike the Hobbit Bickett. We didn't really get Hobbit, but
for
we
this
got
one,
like, the Harf,
for this Harfoot. One, I am Harfoot. Mike the Harfoot Bickett.
Harfoot.
Nice. The Harfoot. Yeah.
The Harfoot.
The Harfoots, yeah.
The Harfoots.
That's totally like early Hobbitus, yep. Right? But
I like the way that they make sure that you know that it's not Hobbits is that they just don't have their hair done. Like, their hair is just wild.
Yeah.
Like, they all have bedhead. That's how you know they're not hobbits.
They all have bedhead.
And, like, leaves in it and shit. Like, that's how you can tell.
Full bird's nest.
But bird's when you bring nest. In the literally bird's nests in their hair.
Mm-hmm. When you bring in the stranger and the size difference, you're like, ah, that's a hobbit.
Yeah.
That's the one time you see the size difference, but it's because they brought the children little ones near the tall guy.
Yeah.
Geeks Under the Influence, GUIPodcast.com to check out all the stuff we're doing on the network. Rate, review, subscribe, all that stuff. Yeah, let's get into it because...
There's a lot.
The preface of the series is that they did not have access to the Silmarillion, which is right. Like the kind of the tome. The history book of Middle-earth.
Yeah, that's literally like in Fellowship... When Gandalf sees the ring after Bilbo leaves it to Frodo, he goes and literally looks through the Silmarillion to find the history of the ring. Like, that's just how big and rich, like, that... The fact... If they could get a hold of that, what they could do with the shows would be fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah.
If they could absolutely. Get the rights to that, because, like...
Oh, yeah. Because there's so much they could do. They could do, like, a whole feature movie just about Beren and Luthien. Like, that whole... Okay, I'm, like, putting on the new...
Yeah, no, do it!
But, yeah, it's just... That could be a whole entire movie in itself.
Nope.
But
after watching this series, I'm almost kind of glad they didn't, because the thickness of this series... Like,
the scope of it?
The scope and the density of this series. There are so many names. There are so many different places that are talked about. Like, I... love the Lord of the Rings movies. I've not had a chance to read the books, and I will at some point, but I have not had the chance. I really enjoyed the series, but I had to...
Lowdown is so upset right now.
I had to enjoy it on a very...
I always assumed.
I had to enjoy it on a very basic level, only just the main storylines, because a lot of the other stuff was just being lost on me. So I can only imagine somebody that really dove into those books and knew these places, how much deeper this... Yeah. Series one.
I'm just kind of blown away right now. But no, it's merely like...
Wait, I love that I'm the only person at this table that hasn't read Lord of the Rings. Like,
I mean, no, yeah.
Loser.
Aw.
Fuck you.
Fuck you, dude.
Well, I would say is for me, it's because it's kind of something that I relate to with my dad, is because he read The Hobbit to me and my sister when we were young. And I read it, I'm saying Harfoot. The Hobbit, I read that again in fifth grade, and then I read it again like much later in life. I actually did not read the books until after I had seen Lord of the Rings. So I kind of went, and so my dad was like super interested in my takes and everything, and I was just like, oh, well, I never, you know, I didn't know the story. So he got me the whole set afterwards so I could read it. So it's been like a thing that me and my dad can connect with.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that's why I'm such a like, I'm a second generation nerd.
So I was not into Lord of the Rings whatsoever. I knew really nothing about it. My family is really not into fantasy or really anything. I brought up before that I was raised super religious, so just give me a pass on this one.
Well, fantasy, hey.
True.
Technically.
I know, you'd think, right?
you were raised on the wrong fantasy.
The wrong fantasy. Yeah, the super boring, like, guilty fantasy.
Yeah.
But so when I was in high school, I went to a magnet high school for arts, and so I was in the theater program, and my theater program when I was a junior went to England, and we got to watch a bunch of West End shows, and this was right about the time that Lord of the Rings premiered on the West End Broadway, and so I got to go to the show, and I had no knowledge whatsoever of the show, and my best friend was raised on it, kind of like you. Her dad was super into it, and so she was a second generation Lord of the Rings fan. And so she had to whisper to me the entire time because they compacted all three into one, like, 3-hour musical.
Oh.
It didn't do very well.
So was everybody talking like micro machines? Like, oh, and then...
Pretty much, yeah. It didn't do very well. And see, here's the sad thing is that I don't know, because at the time I knew nothing about
it.
So
reference.
I really had no frame of reference. That's all I know is that during intermission, I got attacked by an orc. they like sensed fear like a cat and they came to me and it was really terrible. And so I didn't get into it until way past that. From like an ex-boyfriend when I was in my 20s, and then I just fell so deeply in love with everything.
Now that's awesome. I love everyone's stories about, mm-hmm. especially about this, like, because for me it was actually I had watched and then later owned the Ralph Bakshi Rankin and Bass animated
series. Yeah.
So they did The Hobbit first, then he did one movie, kind of like the play of the whole Lord of the Rings trilogy, which was like 2 hours. It was like,
yes,
for animated, it was fun, but I mean,
partially rotoscoped, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
If that's your first viewing, awesome. Like, and the animation is amazing. The voice acting, and they have some veteran fucking actors.
Yeah.
Voice acting on that. And then I loved it. And then I remember going to middle school and going to the library, and all they had was The Hobbit. And The Hobbit was the first animated movie I saw. So I picked up The Hobbit. And I'm like, oh, this is okay. And I read it and fucking loved it. And then I got into high school, 9th grade, and that library had all the other books. So then I just ran train through the trilogy. And then I kind of begrudgingly read Silmarillion, which it gets very old.
Dense.
Yeah.
Dense. It's a lot. It's just so much information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've only been able to read like the abridged Super Cliff's Note version of that. So I haven't actually read it, but I know the
gist.
Of it. And again, I've heard like, you know, my dad talking, you know, I had to do like a basic kind of like, okay, let me Wikipedia real quick. What are the basic things about this? So I can talk to my dad before the show starts. I'm like, let me get a, you know, synopsis real quick. So that way, and he talked my ear off about it. So I'm like, yeah, I just kind of like.
Wash over me.
Yeah, I got it. I absorbed all of it.
Yeah.
I unfortunately really didn't get into fantasy when I was younger. In my youth, my friends that read fantasy read a lot of Anne McCaffrey dragon novels. And if you remember that at all.
Yeah. No, not me, but my sister was
okay.
super into
yeah,
that.
And,
yeah,
and Lord of the Rings was one of these things that I only had a frame of reference from the Hobbit animated movie.
I love it.
And it was great. And I loved that. But so when I went and saw Lord of the Rings, like Fellowship of the Ring, and I was like, great, it's like The Hobbit. You know, I didn't recognize it was two different things. And then there wasn't anything from, there was no, nothing. There was nothing from.
There was the ring. You had the ring.
I was like, I don't remember any of this.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on? It took me later to find out, no, that was a different book entirely. I went, I don't have time for this at all. I had friends telling me like, no, this is really good, really good. It took a roommate to sit me down and I'd seen Fellowship of the Ring, the theatrical version, never saw the other two until a roommate sat me down and made me watch the extended versions of all three. So I've never seen Two Towers or Return of the King in the theatrical version. I've only seen the extended versions.
And you're better off.
And I'm better off. Honestly, that's the only way I want to see them now.
Because, and again, this is just how much of a nerd, like, it just rubbed off on me. That was a thing. I think the first one came out when I was in high school. Yeah, so it was a big thing. We went opening night. Like, it was, you know, got together, you know, the family, and then one of my dad's, you know,
the drama kids. Like,
yeah, it was like, So we went opening night, like, every single time for all three of those movies.
Nice. So, yeah. 3 years back to back.
Yeah.
Let me just give a little context really quick, just in case you were wondering like where I was at when I saw this. So like I said, I got introduced to Lord of the Rings by an ex-boyfriend. I was 20 and he and I went to Florida for a vacation, and it was naturally Florida. And so it poured the entire time we were there. Oh, so we hit up our local Blockbuster, and I think we'd been together for like 6 months at the time. So we decided what we were going to do is introduce each other to important films in our lives that the other person had not seen. So he introduced me to Lord of the Rings. I introduced him to Forrest Gump. So that's where 20-year-old me was at.
Well, why am I more surprised that he hadn't seen Forrest Gump?
I know, yeah, right?
That's actually more surprising to me than not seeing Lord of the Rings. Yeah. Like,
I don't
Forrest
know.
Gump.
He was like alternative. He was just like, I don't even watch this fucking.
Cool. You know who else? You know who else is fucking alternative? Fucking Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump was very alternative. Honestly, he loved Forrest Gump. That's what's so funny is that we watched the first one.
He was a 20-year-old man being like, I don't know what a box of chocolates is like.
No, my friend.
No frame of reference.
He was a 25-year-old man who had no idea what a box of chocolates was. So we watched that. He's like, I like Forrest Gump. We watched Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. I'm a changed person. Like, yeah, I am now different. Yeah. And so the next day in Florida, we went back to Blockbuster
and got two towers.
Yeah. And then we had to drive back. We drove back 11 hours, whatever it is. It's like midnight. He was like, what do you want to do? Like, you got school tomorrow. I was still at VCU. And I was like, we gotta watch Return of the King. And then I couldn't go to school the next day because my eyes were swollen shut because I cried for like five straight hours.
Yeah, it is a very sad ending.
And afterwards, yes. 4 hours. And I
you
still
bow for
do.
No one.
And that's the funny like, thing
oh
is
my God.
We've watched it multiple times, and do I not still sob
every
in
time.
The same way? Throughout the last 2 hours.
Oh my God, just that you bow.
My friends, you bow to no one. Goodbye.
Oh, yeah. Tears.
I will never not.
Okay,
I will never not.
We should probably talk about Rings of Power.
One of the cool things about Rings of Power is like when we started on was like they're going off like the appendices. So it's a really small chunk because as Hobbit mentioned, they don't have access and the rights to use the Silmarillion, which would definitely give so much more input to the world. Hopefully one day. If the family sees the money, they're going to be like, But
Stephen Colbert will die before the Silmarillion goes. Like he's gonna make it happen.
We get introduced to a lot right off the bat. The main story is about one of the characters that we get introduced that is brought into Fellowship of the Rings. Galadriel.
Mm-hmm. Galadriel.
Right? Galadriel.
Yeah. I know I was forgetting a fucking letter.
Just one syllable.
But no, it's just so cool to see like
worst name because Glad is not what she is at any point. Throughout the entire
even in the movie she's like it's like you it's the one you know
so named her Sad Trail.
Is the one that's thousands of years old that is like calm, she's the lady of the woods. We didn't see the warrior Galadriel,
which two things I forgot my first point. But yeah, because I think some people were kind of like weirded out that they see, you know, Kate Blanchett so ethereal mm-hmm. in the movie. She's got like the halo kind of thing around
of
her.
Years though,
she,
like
yeah. But so that's how she kind of was in the story.
Yeah,
is she was this kind of warrior, badass kind of person. But this, where was I going with a similar? It's very they kind of get dance around. Silmarillion. I should know how to say it. Silmarillion. So they kind of dance around it a little bit, like kind of going into it as much as they can without being like, okay, we're taking this from the Silmarillion.
I felt like it did have, there's that one moment in the trilogy that I feel like spoke to this Galadriel, and we talked about it when we were trying to discern who Sauron was. We're doing spoilers, right?
When we were trying to discern who
Sauron was, and that, you know, the entire time before we even realized that that was a consideration, we were like, are they going to fuck? Because, like, it seems like they're going to fuck the whole time.
Yeah.
And I was saying that moment in the trilogy when they offer her the ring and she becomes like, I could be a dark queen. Like, that, to me, was the moment.
It was like that moment where it was like, do I listen to Paramore or do I listen to Evanescence? Like, it was that, like...
Don't do that to her. Don't Evanescence Galadriel.
Neither of those are good choices. What the fuck?
Okay, Paramore, I will fight for. Evanescence, get the fuck out of here.
But that's the darker version, so that would be...
How could you bring me?
I thought you were saying they're both bad options. Paramore's a great option.
But so a side note with that, I recently read a couple articles, and the actor that plays Halbrand said that it's not necessarily out of the realm of possibilities that they might not, you know, get the fuckity fuck
explore
on.
Explore each
still,
other's bodies.
To this day.
Call me your dark queen. Yeah.
Call me God.
Well, speaking of, that's why I just got a little like confused because there is a kind of throwing line where she says she was married or she had a husband. I always get names confused because they're all so similar.
Mm-hmm.
I hope
Kieran, oh my God, they also, her husband that you see in Fellowship when they come to
the woods, Lorien. Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm
Lothlorien.
I wish that Galadriel's ex-husband would be named like Steve or something. Like,
but I was like, wait a second,
Walter.
So I guess that's why they're trying to show like they might fuck. But yeah, it was just they were making eyes at each other whole time.
It was palpable.
Like, but I think
like season
that
one is just how Galadriel got her groove back.
But and you can see like she because you know the same thing in Fellowship. She has that temptation. You know if she was offered the ring, so it's like it's always there, but you kind of see like she's like no, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Like no, this is what I've been fighting against this whole entire time, you know. You can kind of see that temptation for a second, and then she's like,
oh, her
nope,
her pussy's popping like yeah.
It's queen of willpower.
Yeah,
truly.
But yeah, like you said, even in Fellowship, yeah, she says like, all right, I passed, I get, and I can remain Galadriel. Like she, but I mean, even after thousands of years, it still has tempted her. So like just seeing the origins of that is so, seeing the difference of the will in Rings of Power versus how, like you said, how she's become this just aura of light.
I'm just gonna made it look like that warrior women would go for pretty boys. Like that, like, okay, cool. Pretty boys have that level of like that even
know.
The warrior women are like
into that Aragorn, that rusty, you know.
Oh yeah. Talk about that more.
So did you like it when they just called him Strider? Or did you like it when they started calling him Aragorn? I think Strider is way more badass, dude.
Different vibe. Like Strider is badass. Aragorn is like zaddy vibe.
Like Strider is a guy. Like you're gonna meet him on your friend's couch and then find out that he was in a, like a really popular band like 10 years ago
that killed people.
Like, Strider, you're paying his electric bill.
Like Aragorn is like where his dad died, and now he's gotten the money, and so like
so
he's
literally doing, like Aragorn.
Yeah, like, Aragorn had to like cook for his family.
Yeah, right. No, I just thought Strider was just the costume. Everything fit Strider once. Was Aragorn, it was like, I mean, I love the character, but I was also like, oh.
Well, I think I like how there was so misdirection all the time with Halbrand, because at first you're thinking, okay, he's kind of like the stand-in Aragorn.
Exactly. Kind of like, lost king, all this,
And that's why at first I was like, you know, because everybody was like, this person's Sauron. No, this person's Sauron. This person is Sauron.
I am Spartacus.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit.
But it was just like at first, you know, you kind of think, oh, when I honestly was thinking at first, I was like, well, maybe he's one of the Nine Kings of Men.
I thought that too. Mm. I had that thought.
There was so misdirection.
I actually went with the Nine. I actually thought that too. Nine Kings of Men. Yeah.
Okay, but like I understand the elves are like badass and shit. Like I'm not neglecting that at all. But like Galadriel is about to go to like elf heaven, and she's right at the gates, and shit's opening up, and she's like, fuck that, I'm gonna swim like 300 miles through like monster water to get back, and like through monster water, and she's like cool, and she's down. At that point I'm like, all right, this bit, like, no one is like the swim through 300 miles of water, like calm down.
Especially
calm down, Gladys.
Was that not like the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your whole life? Like they crushed that when it all opened up and they were about
to go
ship to
scene?
Elf Heaven.
It opened up and it was just the incredible. It was just the halftime that Prince played. And you're like, oh, this is heaven.
Yeah.
This is heaven. Like in the rain, and you're like, oh my God, there's nothing more beautiful.
Yes, he totally busted out some mad solos in the
Prince
rain.
Like,
awesome.
No.
It was a little weird that Purple Rain played. That felt kind of anachronistic, but I was still into it.
It's fine. I was cool with it.
Prince is timeless.
I need one of our listeners that does video to just like have that moment, like, oh, and then it's just Prince.
Where's Alan?
I will say that after that, so that leads into the episode two, and then you meet, you know, who we find out to be Sauron, and the only survivor of the whole, you know, band of vagabonds that are on the broken ship, you know, thing in the middle of the water. When they make it to that city,
Numenor.
Mm-hmm. I gotta say, that's where, like, for that story, I was like, it like just kind of got dozy for me
a little.
But at the same time, they picked up the other elf story traveling to the Mines of Mir.
Khazad-dûm.
Mm-hmm. Which becomes the Mines of Mir and a Fellowship. Like, that was the cool... For Tolkien fans,
there was the
that was that connection switch, yeah. with Fellowship. It was like, hey, yep. this is the same place that's in Fellowship.
They did do the thing where I was like, this is fucking heavy. And where it was like, the Southlands.
Mordor. Oh, dude, that was rad as shit, though. I was like...
No, I liked it. I liked it.
But, so it was really cool to see it at its prime. And that story really got me. Like, that faction of the story, I was like, oh, I can sink my teeth into this shit.
I did like where, like, the leaf falls down and it goes to the end and it's like, oh, the Balrog.
I know, yeah. right?
Like, all right.
Dude, just all everything right. leading oh, up to that was Balrog. So fucking rad, dude.
Amazing.
It was so good. Yeah, but that's when that kind of took over the story for me, because the whole time they're in the town, I feel like it was just gathering and it was, like, not really much story building happening. I mean, I could have missed something, but...
Put my nerd glasses on. Okay. No. School us. It will become important because... I don't know how much I can spoil.
As much as you
it's
want,
it's not a Lord of the Rings episode until somebody releases a long sigh, I think.
Yeah, it's like... Well,
it's because, it's like, you know, I will say the visions of what happens to Numenor... That's why you don't. That's why you don't see it anytime else in the rest of the story.
More like no more Mordor.
Yep.
Oh no.
But yeah, it's because
they can't all be winners. Like
it kind of becomes like, and again, you have more seasons for this to become, you know, a big story. Is Farazan? You just look at that dude, and you're like, he's up to no good.
Yep. Yeah. Right. No shit. Right. Like,
oh, he's got that, what is it, the guy in Prince's Bride with the six fingers? Oh, yeah.
He's got a unibrow.
Oh, yeah.
That always makes you evil.
I have the same feelings about that little fucking dickhead kid. Like, that kid, like, they ended the series where he's like, oh, maybe I'm not bad. I'm like, no, you're fucking bad.
Yeah.
If you don't end up a bad guy, I'm going to be fucking upset. Like, that little piece of shit, like, fuck that kid.
Well, the thing, his son is one that... added characters, like he doesn't exist in the story. Same with Isildur's sister, she doesn't exist, so I'm just like, what is her point in this? I just don't get her point. So she's just one of the made up characters.
The point I didn't get is when Galadriel like was drowning in the fucking river and then her boy like rolls up like, what's wrong? She's like, I'm not gonna say what's wrong. I'm not going to say, oh, by the way, Sauron is in our fucking home.
Oh,
I'm just going to roll off and not say shit. She could have over her shoulder be like, motherfucker, Sauron, and then like run up. But
yeah,
no,
she wanted to, nothing. Yeah, she held on to that shit.
Well, I think she held on to that because
she still wanted to fuck.
Well, the thing is, I think if they knew the reason, like, okay, like, why was this guy so interested in smithing? And it was finally when I heard him say, like, oh, a gift. I was like, oh, that's fucking Sauron. Because there's this whole thing where he kind of comes in this disguise as Annatar. I'm going into this. He kind of goes to Celebrimbor and is just like, here's a gift of no. Here's how you do all this with the. So that's when I was like, oh, shit. That's Sauron.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, because, like, at first it's such a throwaway line. I was like,
That's the dude.
If you know, you know.
But, yeah, it was, oh, my God, I can't remember where I was going with this. Somebody refresh my memory.
There's lots of,
lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff.
Oh, when Galadriel was saying, like, why she didn't explain.
Yeah. Oh, why she didn't explain the
air. You know, her mind was basically like, if I tell them it was because of him, like he gave them this idea, they
might never
going to
fuck.
They're never going to want to do the project that they're working on. They're not going to want to do it because it was the Dark Lord's idea.
From someone that hasn't read the books, like I see Galadriel being like, no, let's make three rings. And she's like smirk. And I'm like, is that Galadriel? Like, is that somebody like pretend? Is that one of the like the sexy androgynous aliens that I have like weird feelings about that have like it's awakened something in me? And
I don't think that's weird at all. I feel like that
no,
was
the fucking
experience.
the hip popping fucking androgynous like alien wizards.
That was universal. You're not alone.
Oh my God.
I think everyone wanted to
like
the
I
alien
yeah
wizards.
Like I think wherever they come from is also where David Bowie comes from. Like
oh,
that's it's the same fucking planet.
The real Slim Shady.
I will
no, totally. That Feminem. Was that was Feminem. Yeah, that.
The Feminem can slim my shady any day. Like I
just,
have
she
no.
She just literally
fucks.
Picked up fire out of a fucking fire and was like, I'm going to play with this. I'm like, oh my
God. She also had like weird bondage shit over a toga and was like popping hips as she was, they were walking. And I was like, fucking,
Yeah.
All three of them.
Fucking yes.
Yeah.
But
anyway,
yeah.
I was going to say, another story that took my interest when that story kind of went that round, just for me, was the increase with the town and the elves leaving the tower and the orcs coming back through the tunnels and seeing those tunnels and what they did come to fruition down the road was so good.
That was very cool.
That was baller status, right? Like,
oh my God. Cause when I saw like the, it was all going towards that, you know, mountain, the, I was like, Mount Doom.
Yeah. Just the way that fucking, so good.
Cause I thought that was, oh my God, that was such a good fight scene, I think, because when you realize, like, they made a very, you saw, like, okay, orcs, they bleed black.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just like, I didn't think about it at first, but then I was like,
oh, there's red.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit, right? I knew it couldn't be over that quick.
I want you to go on a mental journey with me. The old man that's like talking shit and be like, fucking Sauron had it right. Everything that happened after that, imagine if he was named Q instead. And like QAnon, that's exactly what fucking happened.
Why? QAnon.
You made it too real. We're talking fantasy.
Listen,
let's go back to where we escape. Fantasy.
Exactly. Let's just evolve in the fantasy.
All right, so the elf and the dwarf that are friends. Like,
oh my God,
there we go. Yay.
But my favorite part.
Yeah. I really like, so that's totally that elf's son, right? Like, that's totally like him and that chick from that town were fucking, right? That's his kid, right?
I didn't know.
I thought that immediately.
I didn't gather that.
Because he like has more of a slight more tan than she does. And then the elf's like super melanin. So I just assumed that they got their fuck on. Oh I'm sorry.
Was,
like
I thought sorry, it felt, that was it felt the fresh
ugliest
to me.
Motherfucker.
Dude.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're talking about the kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was he was the one that we thought was shitty the whole time because has
he reminded me
face.
Of like every single fucking like grade I was in high school, there was that like greasy kid that smelled bad and he looked exactly like that fucking kid. Fuck that kid.
Looks like, did you say we had a quiz? I thought we had a quiz today, right? Like, he's that kid.
Fuck that kid.
Oh, fuck that kid.
Fuck that kid.
He grew up, who's the shitty kid who asked for a quiz? He was so greasy.
He's so greasy, he grew up to be the fucking little lollipop dude from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, shit.
Paul Rubens from Mystery Men is just like, I feel less gross than that kid does.
No hate to that actor. I'm sorry.
No, of course.
Yeah, no, also, that like,
actor's great. Every single
not
time.
Not the child that's playing the character, but.
Every single time he was on screen, I'd be like, that's an unfortunate looking.
You're just a great actor. You don't have a shitty little face.
No.
You're just a really good actor.
I just assumed that when they finally introduced the kid and you saw the interaction between, I forget her name, and the elf. And it was like, again, she was like pretty white.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he has like a tan, the kid. And I'm like, you know.
And maybe. I think it was a fun callback. Most people would go to like, there was some throwaway line. They were just like, oh, the last time something happened with an elf and a human.
Yeah, exactly.
And most people think like Aragorn, Arwen, and me, Nurnell. I'm like, Baron and Luthien, which are Elrond's descendant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that is the thing in the live action though, that they are going for the like the elf human shit. Like everybody's on board too. Like you've got like Aragorn and fucking what's her face? Fucking Liv Tyler.
Arwen.
And everybody's like, fuck yeah, the locket, and they're fucking into it and it's great. And then you've got,
we talk about Liv Tyler's lips.
Then you've got even Sauron, and Galadriel, and people are shipping that shit all day. But the minute that fucking the chick from Lost and a Hobbit get together, everybody loses their fucking minds.
Oh my fucking God, like, that was...
And as somebody whose nickname is the Hobbit, I take fucking offense to that. I can pull an elf, thank you.
No, it was an elf and a dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
And that, every time that, like, the, what is it? hurt. Oh, this
well,
is
and it was
love.
Fully fabricated. Like oh, everything yeah. about that.
Well,
was
the
fabricated.
Live action ones are because, like, the, oh. even the fucking Lord of the Rings shit was fabricated, right? That wasn't.
It was,
in the books.
She was a character, whereas like
Tariel,
Evangeline Lilly was not.
She didn't
a
exist,
real character,
and yeah. that was the worst fucking thing I've ever seen. Yeah. I went in the theater, oh, and when that happened, I went, ugh.
Yeah, they weren't. She wasn't even real. Arwen was real. They just didn't have the romance.
Well, and that's the thing. It's because there's
just the creators are like humans fuck elves. I don't know what to tell you. Humans like they just do
elves.
That.
I think it's more elves fuck humans.
Yes.
I think elves fuck humans because
yeah, there's no way that like a female
humans.
Elf is going to be the sub in
that's
that
what I'm saying. Like that's not working, dude. Like the
I think
elves
they
are
were
like,
just both
I'm gonna ride that dick.
What we're saying is that Aragorn gets pegged. Like
whoa,
sure.
Yeah, well, we talked about how definitely in the dwarf prince and his wife that there's definitely some like sexual maneuvering.
He subs for her.
She pegs him.
Yeah, 100%.
She pegs that prince.
Well, that's why the whole thing with Tariel. The door feeling. That's why I didn't quite get it. Was terrible as it was, but it's just because there's this whole thing, and you kind of see in Lord of the Rings when Legolas and Gimli, they have their like banter and everything, and in the whole thing when they do the whole fellowship, how the elves look kind of down on, you know, dwarves. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was like, there's no way an elf would be in love with a dwarf. There's no way. And it's because they've always had kind of this, like, rivalry, which is why the banter between Elrond and Durin was so great.
That was great.
Mm-hmm.
It
yeah.
was because they were still shitting on each other. Like, they were...
Yeah.
I've seen that in real life where I've had friends that, like, are from different, like, cultural backgrounds that will, like, shit on each other in the most playful way. And it's most... Not... Me, I'm white. I can't have that kind of relationship. But my like my friends from like minority friends have had that relationship with each other where it's like me with each other, and it's very cute and adorable.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And I'm the white guy in the corner being like, "That's cute. You guys can do that. I can't. Yeah. I can't.
Oh,
I can't
god,
do that."
The part when he was telling like Gilgamesh. I don't know.
Gilgamesh.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, whatever.
You remember that scene when Gilgamesh shows up?
Yeah. Whatever, dude. It's so hard to remember all the names.
There's so many names.
Anyway,
there's so many storylines.
Gilgamesh, he's like, you know, Durin is like, well, this rock is actually really culturally important to us dwarves.
Oh,
so
that was...
For the fact that you guys made it a fucking kitchen table or whatever you did with it, that's fucked up. And so then they're walking, you know, Elrond, he's walking them out, and he's like, I just wanted a new kitchen table.
Yeah. I will say when that relationship started where he rolls into the mountain and they have the, like, the rock off, that was lame as shit. I was like, this is garbage. And that was one of the previews that you saw before the series started where they're like, hey, check out how cool the show is. And I'm like, this looks like stupid as shit.
Yeah, because we watched it. We were like, oh, no.
Well, no, this
but
looks
it,
so
it
dumb.
It served a purpose.
It served
it did.
A
that
purpose.
Scene served
well,
a
purpose. Contextually, yeah.
Once you get to know the characters, like, you can't have that separate.
No.
Like, that has to be
has
part
to be
of the context.
No, but, like, I mean, literally during that scene, you saw him, like, stop for a second and then just kneel and put his fucking sledge down. Like,
yeah.
he like, before it gets to the scene five episodes later, you know he did that because he knew there was something more important than the pride that comes from this. And right. once he's involved, he'll see that as well, that it goes beyond the breaking of the rocks and all that. But they had to also overcome that 20-year missing the wedding, birth of both children,
and
all that anger that he had, which understandable.
Was,
so as a friend, as a good friend,
and that was
this
very
kind of
cool.
Shit, bro, that's, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, to an elf, that's like,
that's like a week.
Yeah,
it's like 2 weeks, like whatever the fuck.
And to a dwarf, that's just like, that's 20 years.
And I love that was something that really got contextualized in that moment, where for the elf, it was like, this was like a couple weekends ago. For the dwarf, like, dude, like, my life is blown by that.
Yeah,
that was really cool to see how that affects relationships.
And that's how you realize, like, in that context, just by, you know, the end, like, Return of the King and everything, when they, you know, at the end, they're all getting on ready to go back to Valinor. That's when you realize how old these elves are. Like, they're thousands of years old. So, again, like, that was just like, and we partied like, oh, that was a month ago. No, that was 20 years ago.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah.
But the elf, exactly, and like,
like, I'm human, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I saw them a couple years ago. Oh, that was 8 years ago. Not, I saw that band.
Not bringing, know, so. It, not bringing it to the serious level as QAnon, but there is a serious conversation. Oh, no. There is a serious conversation in that story of, like, how even people, obviously, don't live longer. We all live roughly to the same age. How, like, you get so caught up in things that you don't realize you're missing other things that, of people that are important to you.
Sure.
And he was important to him. He just didn't realize the time because he didn't stop to think about the difference.
Well, I think that's why connected is that we've all have that moment where we have friends that we just lose track of and you don't talk to for a while. And it's not because anybody did anybody dirty. There's no ill feelings. It's you get caught up, you get busy.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't hang out for a couple months, and then a couple months turns into a couple years, and then years later, you end up running across each other because somebody has a kid, or you run across each other in town or something, and then you restart that friendship, and then it's like no time has passed, and you go, why did I wait this long?
Yeah.
To like spend time with somebody that I value so much. And
you see that happen 100%.
Everybody could connect to that relationship because we've all had that moment.
I love that story. I love the story arc in this show so much. I do.
And in that, I do want to talk about the precious gems that they're digging out of the mountain.
And daddy. We got angry daddy.
Oh, well, and the daddy issues of Tolkien, apparently. We're going to be getting into for sure.
So many.
But let's save that for the second half. We are at the break, so let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about daddy issues and precious metals and what we're drinking. So stick around. We'll be right back. The Geeks Under the Influence are back again November 19th at the Richmond Raceway Complex for Virginia Comic Con. Coming out, meet some of your favorite showrunners from the Geeks Under the Influence Network, spin the wheel, win some prizes, buy some merch, and enjoy the convention with us. It's 36,000 square feet of artists, comics, toys, and even a costume contest. So make sure if you're a cosplayer, dress in your favorite cosplay stuff, and we'll see you there November 19th at the Richmond Raceway Complex. Tickets are available at vacomiccon.com. We are back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things Rings of Power. But before we continue with that, we're going to be talking about our sponsors a little bit first. Of course, first one up is Amazon.com. I know, fuck Jeff Bezos. But we all use the service from time to time. We duck our heads down and hit click when we need something in the house and we don't have time to go out and get it. And when you're shamefully shopping Amazon.com, especially during the holiday season, make sure that you shamefully go to GUIpodcast.com and click on Shop Amazon on the homepage on the upper right-hand corner. That way we get credit for all your shameful purchases on Amazon. It's not quite Mordor. It's close. But instead of casting your ring into the lava, cast your click onto the homepage of
you're trying, buddy.
GUIpodcast.com.
You're trying. I love you for it.
And we will be like Gollum clinging to the money that we get from the...
Yep.
Is that, is that connecting at all?
It's working really well.
Okay, great.
I think it's great.
It's your best work ever.
Amazon.com. It's like Mount Doom. Next up is like the Shire. I'm not going to try to find some parallel. Okay. TeePublic. Just go to TeePublic, man. Like, we're going to have all the designs from the Halloween season up to the end of the year. So all those limited edition spooky shirts are going to be available through the end of the year. We're going to be putting up some of our holiday season shirts as well. And all the designs you've come to know and love over, I think it's like close to 60 designs at this point.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. We got a whole lot available on our TeePublic site. Just go to GUIpodcast.com/store and that will send you right to our TeePublic page where you can look at all the cool shit that we have, including designs that have Lowdown's face, my face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those things.
Also, shirts that don't, in case you're not into that kind of thing.
Which I don't know why you wouldn't be. Yeah. Whatever.
If we come up with a funny enough pun on this episode, I'll create a Lord of the Rings shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Or Rings of Power or whatever. Cock Rings of Power. I don't know. We'll come up with something.
I will say, at a minimum, like, they go down to as simple as stickers and magnets.
Yep.
So you go on there on a sale, too, when you catch it, if you sign up for text alerts, They alert you when there's a sale. It's usually 3 to 4 days. It's like every other week, every week and a half.
It's often.
And like you could literally pick up the large size magnet for like $250. Like it's, you know, I mean, so it's just stickers and magnets, man. Base level.
Get a coffee mug that's like farts are cool. That's actually not one of ours, but I'm going to have to make that
surprising.
Now.
Surprising.
It probably already exists.
It probably does. But yeah, I mean, you're going to, the human centipede live, laugh, love is a great coffee mug choice. Y'all motherfuckers need Odin is a great one. The Arrested Development, Dr. Manhattan mashup, is great.
Oh yeah. Oh, the Never Nude shorts. Oh,
the
God.
Never Nude Dr. Manhattan is pretty so great. Plenty of designs available at TeePublic, gypodcast.com/store to hit that.
Oh, the fuck Michael Bay.
Fuck Michael Bay.
I wore that shirt.
Simple, but great design.
I wore that shirt this past weekend. I got like 15 compliments.
Nice.
People were like, nice shirt. I'm like, I know. I don't know how you made so much money, Michael Bay, but apparently.
My favorite was I wore that to a bar and a dude started laughing and his girlfriend was like, he pointed it out and she's like, who's Michael Bay? And he's like, the one that did all the Transformers movies. And she's like, oh, I like those movies. And he looked so pissed.
He was probably like,
I think I ended a relationship with that shirt.
Yeah, it was probably for the better.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But yeah, those are our sponsors. Now on to the thing that really powers this show. It's not the money we make from the fucking.
Definitely not.
From Morgoth, a.k.a. Amazon. God damn it. We're talking about the booze that powers the show. We're talking about what we're drinking.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Uh-oh.
That sounded...
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey.
We're drinking. We're getting drunk.
Yay.
Yay.
I'll fix that in post.
Yeah.
So we actually have a couple choices here. Audrey, you're nice enough to bring some very Renaissance Fair appropriate booze for us to be sipping on. What do we got here?
I don't know how to pronounce it.
Iqualika?
It's from South Africa.
Yep. It's a South African mead, right?
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have like tons to choose from. So I was like, this looks good.
It's pretty tasty. I like it.
I'm not.
It's a light mead. I've had some meads that are like, kick you in the face.
This I can do.
Yeah, this is a very sessionable like mead.
Yeah,
we've all had the mead that is just so fucking heavy.
This is hints of cinnamon, apple, rosehip, and hibiscus flower.
Yeah, this has a little dryness to it as well, which I appreciate because some meads will just like immediately give you that mustache and turn you into Mr. Diabetes himself.
Yes.
Am coming.
I want to come back inside. That's what you start saying.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to come back inside. Oh. And for those of you who don't know, it's a thing reference.
That's the thing, yeah. Yeah,
it's just saying. Yeah. You should, fucking.
I know him best from Cocoon.
Oh, yeah. Cocoon's a solid fucking film,
He was like 44 when that movie came out. He was like in his 40s when that came out, and he still looked like he was like 82 years old.
I'm so glad I got to meet him before he passed. I really
am. Wilfred hair Brimley. In your beard like a little dwarf.
Yeah, this is definitely some dwarf booze right here.
Easy now. You ladies might start turning on some dwarves. You keep growing that facial hair. I don't know. Chill out.
I mean, not turning me away. It's fine.
Noted.
I can stop shaving. Facial hair is what she heard. I can stop shaving.
Facial hair is not a no from me, dog. This is actually very tasty. I appreciate this. This is
it's good.
Yeah, it's a little bit of sweet, but floral. It's more floral than anything. I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
I dig it.
The next one. This was suggested by Ms. Amy Bogard, and we picked it up together. BrewDog Brewing Company. Talk about nail on head. This is the Lord of the Rings Fellowship IPA.
Yeah, it took a lot of creativity for me to choose this one.
Yeah, it was a lot of thought.
I'm proud of you.
Going into the maze of my mind.
This is a hazy India pale ale, as the elves drink, I think. And
they're known for it.
This is 5%. So.
Yeah, it's pretty light.
I will say this is probably not of the octane level they were drinking back in
probably
those days.
Not.
Brewed with mithril hops.
Yep.
And
yeah.
Even if you drank a pint, Wouldn't even fuck up a hobbit.
Wouldn't even fuck up a hobbit.
Pretty light.
That is the
hobbits,
gauge.
For their size, it's pretty clear that they got a high tolerance.
Oh, yeah. They know how to party. Yeah,
they can party. Like, hobbits can party. That's that's canon.
Yeah.
They love to do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. It's got, like, elven on it, I think. Yeah, so...
Elvish.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Oh, Elvish on it. So, yeah, BrewDog Fellowship IPA is definitely a good choice for any of the Lord of the Rings viewing, whether or not you're watching Rings of Power or the original Lord of the Rings movies.
Any fellowshipping, really?
If you're watching The Hobbit, stop.
Just don't do that, man.
Has the One Ring inscription.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. One ring to rule them all. One ring to bind them.
One ring to rule them all.
Can we talk about the song?
One ring to bind them. One ring I fuck it up every single time.
I do too.
One ring
is one ring
to rule them all.
One
ring to find them.
Find them.
One ring to
bring them all.
Bring them all.
And in the darkness.
And in the darkness bind them. Yeah, damn it.
Oh my God. I did not realize that was Fiona Apple.
Oh.
Yeah, did you? Yeah, the fucking terrible song at the end of episode 8 was like one ring to rule
them. I actually
them
was
all.
Into it. Oh, and
one ring to find at them.
First, no, that wasn't good. In my opinion.
Sorry, I was into it.
No, we were laughing so fucking hard. We were like, this song is just like telling the story of what we just saw. It was like, and then a human found an elf in the water. And then she went to the Southlands to find some goblins and orcs.
Mordor.
Mordor. At first I thought it was like Lana Del Rey, and I was like, no, it's not deep enough.
It wasn't about aliens, so.
And then, and then I saw in the credits, I was like, I went back. I was like, oh shit, that was Fiona Apple. So I was
callback to 90s kids.
Yeah. I was into it. I liked it.
I love Fiona Apple, but yeah, I was not feeling the song.
I wasn't feeling the song.
She's like, I've been a bad, bad elf.
Jesus Christ.
Stop.
I've been careless with a delicate man.
That's a shirt. Somehow figure out Fiona Apple. Bad elf, dude.
I don't
figure
know.
That out,
I think
dude.
It's because I loved her cover of Across the Universe for Pleasantville, so that's where my mind was going.
Pleasantville. Wow.
Oh, shit. That is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, my God.
It is a good movie, but yeah.
Technically a Spider-Man prequel.
Yeah. All right. I can nerd out about that movie forever.
In canon, Pleasantville. that song, like, it's got that, like, super ghosty Lord of the Rings, like, one ring to
the... Oh, yeah.
But like,
was that fucking Enya who did a song for
this? Yes.
Yeah, that was
but
Enya.
At least she sounded like an elf. Like, it sounded ethereal. Like, there's nothing about Fiona Apple sounds like sexy Quaaludes. Like, she doesn't sound like...
if you could make Quaaludes sexy, yeah, that, like, is Fiona. Wow. That's your fucking... Like, that's like what she left behind.
Enya sounds like a forest spirit. Like,
pure muse.
What was that? The Ents? Like, she speaks for the Ents? Like,
yes,
the trees?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Now, I will say, the better...
Fiona Apple sounds like somebody that's going to fuck you at a deep forest concert. Like, that's not... It's not...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
a little different.
Like, she's like the one that they actually over the years have told you to steer clear of it. Muddy Roots.
Muddy Roots. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, steer clear of that chick. No, but the vocals that weren't bad in,
like, Fiona
the
Apple uses a cup,
Christ.
Right? Like, instead of
hell's never gonna stop.
It's not gonna stop.
Uses a cup instead of, like, tampons, right? Like, Fiona Apple, like...
Like a diva cup?
Like a diva cup. Like, Fiona Apple 100% has a diva cup.
I feel like Galadriel would have a diva cup.
Galadriel definitely has a diva cup.
Let me tell you about my diva cup.
She's also, like, vegan level of telling people about her diva cup, too, Galadriel.
Yeah,
so
I have a diva cup.
Yeah. Because I'm one with the earth. I'm like, yes, we know, Galadriel.
We
yes,
got we you.
Know. Oh, yeah. Minimal footprint.
My
yes, we know.
We know. We know.
On the battlefield.
Anyway, better singing vocals is Dude Man's Wife. She, when she's belting to the fucking mountain, I was like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
That was,
whoa.
That was fuck. Rad. And that kind
why
of
did
just...
they just play that at the end?
I was, mm-hmm. you're right. I'm like, when I first heard it, I was like, oh, okay, she's actually doing. No, that's not her.
But also, how moving would it have been if they played like the Billy Boyd song that he sings in Return of the King?
Yeah, that would have been fucking cool. Yeah.
I would have cried.
Yeah.
Easily.
Well, they're probably going to wait till like the series finale because it's going to lead up like right before I'm going on an adventure.
Yep.
Right? And so that's gotta be like, there's gonna have to be time jumps at some point if they're gonna keep this going, right?
Well, that's what just where the funky timelines are going. That they're, I mean, well, they're condensing like thousands of years.
Yeah, we talked about that before the episode. They definitely did some fuckery with the timeline, but it was necessary.
Yeah, and it's just at the same time, it's kind of like they could stretch it out since they have so many seasons planned. But I think for me, that's we all have accepted that's Gandalf. That's fine.
Yes, that's fucking Gandalf.
So it's just, I'm still
voting for Razzmatazz or whatever his fucking name is.
Radagast.
I think it would be cool. like I said prior to recording, like initially when she said, what'd you call her? The M&M?
Feminem.
When Feminem was like, you are the other, before they like disintegrated into air.
I'll reiterate, I fucking would. Like, I fucking would.
As you fucking should.
Oh my God.
I was going to say, like, when she said that, I did immediately go Saruman, just because he is the older wizard.
I think that's, and again, why there are so many misdirections, because, you know, my boyfriend was like, as soon as they said, oh, we bow to you, Saruman, or Sauron, and he was just like, yes, that was him all along. I was like,
no.
Wait a second.
I honestly never thought he was, I knew he was powerful. Mm-hmm. I knew he was obviously a wizard, but I never thought he was Sauron.
I think Sauron. I just would have like, I think it would have been more fun to kind of like introduce Gandalf. Mm-hmm. Kind of maybe later seasons, but I guess it's because they're condensing so many timelines. Like, the Istar, they didn't show up for, like, a long time. And I think that does play with their kind of stories because, you know, how he's just very much like, I don't know where I am, what the fuck, I can't control my powers. That was very much in line with when the Istar went over into Middle Earth and everything. They kind of just didn't know, where am I, you know?
Yeah.
And
it's like when I moved to Virginia.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know where I am.
Like,
that's where you moved to in Virginia.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know the language. I don't know.
Definitely didn't know the language.
Don't know her accent. Yeah. Don't know.
Yeah, the first time that I went against, like, oh, I don't mean it as a racist thing. Anybody can be a, that's
no. You learned that day, didn't you?
And that is very much in line with his character, though, for sure, is because he was actually the last one to... I'm still going.
No.
I'll ignore our dumbass.
Yeah, we're just being stupid.
Yeah. But yeah, it's very much in line with his character. And I think there are some people who are arguing, that could be Saruman... That could be one of the blue elves that we kind of... Wizards.
Wizard.
Yeah, yep. I did it earlier. The wizards. So there's two blue elves and they go into the forest somewhere. So basically when they get in touch with, you know, Feminem and everything, that is... that's eventually going to be in turn to Mirkwood because it's so close to the Southlands and it, you know, gets corrupted by Mordor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but Mirkwood, if you guys know, Mirkwood is prominent in...
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
The trilogy.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I really don't think, you know, people saying like, oh, the Saruman, that's one of the two blue elves and blah, 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 blah. That's fucking Gandalf.
Yeah, I mentioned this too. What sold it to me that it wasn't Saruman after the initial, like, oh, you're not Sauron, which they announced finally, I was like, when you said follow your nose, and I was like, that is a Gandalf phrase through and through.
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
He said that to so many, well, mainly Frodo and Bilbo. Through the Hobbit, through the Fellowship of the Rings, he says, follow your nose. And I'm like, okay, all right, there you go.
That is.
You know what's crazy? I don't remember that at all. I do not remember him ever saying that. And so we were saying, like, okay, he's got to say, like, a major Gandalfism. And neither of us remembered it because he said that. And we were like, well, that's not shit. Anyways, moving on. And then both of you said that that's a major Gandalfism. And I do not remember it.
I like the term Gandalfism.
Yeah.
Gandalf has some of the greatest fucking shit ever that he says.
It just sounds like I should be impatient with short people. Like,
as you should.
So... Never mind. Impatient
with myself. Yeah.
It's like, I already
yeah,
have
you
that.
Are.
Yeah, you open the door.
The number of times that I say a thing and I'm like annoyed with myself. Yeah.
Well, and going back to like condensing timelines and everything is just they actually didn't make the Elven Rings first. So that's why I'm kind of like interested to see like how they're going around with these things because they kind of made the Elven Ring so Sauron couldn't understand that we had our kind of own rings and we didn't really use them that much because we didn't want him to know that we had our rings.
And one of the things I read, strictly speaking to that, in the finale was that it was a way for the way they wrote Galadriel to say goodbye to the past by melting her brother's dagger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then also a way for them to fuse that stone, that new...
The Mithril.
Yeah. Because they had no other... They couldn't get it to work any other way, so they thought they could kind of like trick it by fusing it with other metals.
Mm-hmm.
So from what I read, the writers utilized that to kind of combine all that, and then out of that comes the rings. And they already introduced the three stones prior, like, what, four episodes before?
Yeah, it was actually earlier in the that episode. Yeah, because I...
Was it just that episode? I thought it was, like, episodes before that.
No, it was that episode, because I think, like, he opens it, and they're like, oh, what are these stones? And he's just like...
Okay.
I want to talk about the knife being fucking melted down, because, like, all the buildup to that happening, they're like... Yes, it has to be a very specific level of metal, and like the balance between the silver and the gold and the mithril has to be fucking perfect in order for this to work, and it's like super delicate. And then they just melt the entire knife down. They don't separate the silver and the gold at all, so it's just whatever balance between the two was in the knife.
But it looked pretty.
And then they just drop the whole fucking stone in there being like, good enough. Like, I've done that before in recipes, and it's always oversalted. Like, they didn't measure shit.
They over-mithrilled the rings. Oh, no. Yeah.
Well, I think it was just such a perfect way that they showed that is because it looked like the Eye of Sauron.
Yes.
Oh, the way they did
that. I hope
that,
everybody
I like,
caught that. Like, obviously, us, but I'm talking about, like, viewers, I hope you caught that. Like, when he drops in there, you're like, oh, fuck, that's, yeah.
Okay, but it also can't just be us that it looked like forbidden cheese dip, right? Because we were having a moment where we're like, forbidden buffalo chicken.
That's the Rachelette of doom.
Like, yeah. Cheese dip, you're looking at it like, my ass is going to hurt tomorrow.
Oh, that's a buffalo chicken dip.
Using the bread that the elves give them.
Limbus
bread.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's like, a little bit.
I would tear that shit up.
One bite and you're full and you're like, oh, no.
Oh, no, I wanted more. Then you're dipping your little finger in the cheese dip.
I will say, though, they made that shit look pretty. The way they're like, guided here. And got it there, and got it here.
One dip to them.
Oh, God. No.
That's me with way too much confidence at the home or the housewarming party.
That's when you, when you find that somebody brought a French onion dip, and you're like,
oh,
shit.
Mm-hmm. Like the stupid guacamole I brought in, shit. But
I do agree. So, in the timeline that I remember, though, I thought the elves did have the first three, and man had the nine from the men were the last, right?
Well, because I know, like, he kind
of... But anytime she goes, meh, she's literally pushing her glasses up.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it was a thing of, as he kind of disguised himself as this Annatar, so he kind of gifted the rings to, you know, he gave them as a gift to the nine kings and then the dwarves. And then the elves are kind of like, that's kind of sus. So they kind of, yeah. So it's just, yeah. So they kind of played with the timeline of that a little bit. So it's just, Yeah, it's just the elves. They did have their rings.
Yeah, like season three is just going to be the Among Us game, but yeah, with Sauron and elves.
Yeah, because they really use their rings kind of like afterwards to kind of like rebuild, I guess, like Lorien, all these different elf places. And so, yeah, they just didn't use their rings because they were like, something's not right. Something's kind of sus. So we're just not going to use the power of our rings because something's kind of hinky here.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel with the rings, like with the dwarves, you could be like, it's made out of like a really rare metal. And they're like, fucking give it to me. Like, I don't even give a shit that it's evil. With humans, you're just going to be like, hey, have stuff. And they're going to be like, yes, I will have stuff.
Yeah, he comes to them as like a gift. Like, oh, yes, but the look elves, at these rings.
The elves are like the hipsters of Middle Earth, where you have to kind of, like, in order for them to take the rings, you have to act like they don't, you don't even understand. Like, oh, you wouldn't want this.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't understand these rings. They're like, no, I kind of want these rings now. I was like, no, it's.
And it comes to the dwarves' kind of greed. That's why They mined and, you know, kind of their greed kind of took over them, and then they mined too deep.
I'm excited to see that part of the story, though. Like,
me too.
Just so excited.
And I mined too deep and no.
Oh my God, dude. What the fuck?
I've been dry on dad jokes for like 10 episodes.
But you can't like blow your entire load on one episode. Like, holy shit.
Let me just give some context really quickly. We did watch the Weird Al Yankovic movie. I think he's just like, his mind is
reeling.
I'm just in
full like corny joke mode.
I totally corny understood the horny context, unfortunately.
A little bit of both.
Both. You heard him talking about Feminem.
Yeah.
He was like, fuck.
Have you seen Daniel Radcliffe dressed as Weird Al?
When I mine too deep, I'm like,
the most horny is Daniel Radcliffe dressed as Weird Al Yankovic.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
horny.
Man.
Very horny. Extremely horny movie.
I call it mustache play.
But I
get out of here.
I'm very stoked to see that.
I think it's time for you to leave.
You know what I think the final season needs to be? It literally needs to be Sauron at the height of his power, fucking crushing shit. Mm-hmm. Leading up to the ring getting cut off his hand. Like, that needs to be, like, the finale.
The finale, for sure, yeah.
Well, because, of course, Isildur's not dead. Because
right.
Yeah.
There's a whole other 6 more movies to go.
Yes.
Right?
But we only count 3. Yeah. Sorry, I fucked that movie.
Yeah. Only 3 movies.
I do want to...
One animated film.
real quick, because I know they can't touch too much on the Silmarillion, really. But it's just, they gloss over the whole battle leading up to the whole, you know, the events that set up where they, you know, defeat Morgoth and blah, 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 blah. That actually would have been really badass to see all those fights.
I would have loved that.
Morgoth? Yeah, yeah. Well,
they're waiting for the success of this series so they can do a whole other series about Morgoth.
Morgoth would be badass.
70 million an episode for those.
Taking the light of the trees and blah, blah, blah. And Ungoliant, you know, that's where you get Shelob and blah, blah, blah.
I just want a really quiet, like, Garden State-style indie comedy about the Ents. Like, that's really what I'm just like a side.
But it wouldn't be like Garden State because they're so wise that
it would literally be called Garden State.
Their voice, like, you couldn't do something that dramedy, I guess, because like they just talk so wise and
it'd be a 15-minute short film that would last 2 hours.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like,
okay, so that's where the Shins went, because I didn't know where their career went, but they're just hibernating.
They're
waiting
hibernating.
For the end series
the
to come
end
out.
Series to come out.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
No, I do want to talk a little bit about like the battle that caused Mount Doom to doom it up. We talked a little bit about
the release of that river.
About the river being released. I thought it was really smart how they used the tower against the enemy, and that was really smart. And then you see the fires coming up, and you're like, okay, they got this. And you're like, oh, they maybe don't. Mm-hmm. And then there's that moment where they're fucked, and dude rolls in.
Because remember, Agar.
Agar.
You see him walk out of the tavern, and he's like, hey, I need you to do something for me. Come here. And he switched the fucking hatchet for the fucking shard. And then he takes a shard and up okay, yeah, we're fucked. That's, now we got Mordor.
And then he's like, the basement of the pizza shop has kids in it. And then he just puts it into the stone and releases.
Yeah. He's like, wait, this is totally like cutting up a pig.
I'm still on the MAGA.
You're on QAnon Pizzagate?
I'm still, that's QAnon sword going into.
Oh, but I'm just so.
Are you okay?
I'm circling back to my whole my QAnon God. Joke from the beginning of the
episode. Because it went so well then.
Yeah, it went over like a lead balloon.
But
just but it's down. Just, yeah. That just, it makes me think, because I'm just so excited to see in like future episodes to see like the nine. Oh, I'm just glossing over these awful jokes.
No, I'm with you though. Like, I'm excited for the future.
I'm excited to see the future of what happens next, because, you know, I know. The story is like, I know what happens. I'm just so excited to see what happens next, like with the Nine Kings of Men. How did they become the Nazgul? Mm-hmm. And how do you see the Witch King? And my favorite,
oh, the
fucking,
Witch King! I cannot fucking wait.
My favorite fucking thing of Return of the King was I Am No Man, because I can on and on about the context of that scene and how they're missing some context from the books.
And honestly, I would love to hear it.
Yeah, because, oh my God, I could just go on all fucking day about the Nazgul, the context definitely. Of that scene when, you know, when she's just like, I am no man. Boom!
That rules so hard.
Yes, that is my favorite scene, so I'm kind of so stoked to see that.
All that, and then, like, also, like, you're right, seeing how man falls to become, like, basically, they're like the headhunters for Sauron. Like, how does that fucking happen?
Yeah.
At a time where, you know, obviously we know Sauron's more powerful than man, but man at that point in the lore is like fucking like king swinging dick,
because
right?
Because
it's
like, just how the corruption of everything happens.
I mean, hate to like make it real, and I'm not going to go full Q because somebody has already done that for me. But honestly, doesn't that make this story so timeless that we are looking at like the corruptibility of man? Always.
Yeah.
And how
forever and ever. That's a timeless story.
Well, how many of your heroes have you seen become a fucking Nazgul? And it's like so sad to watch someone that you love.
But also
you either die the hero or you
become a Nazgul.
Or become a Nazgul.
Exactly.
And then
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And then you've got Eowyn, people like, you know, the hope, and everybody's come like boom.
Yeah,
exactly. Off your fucking head. Cause he was
Even on the same end, like you've got the war, the good aspect of it. The I am good, whatever.
That was rough.
The Elven Brigade that actually are standing for like the good side of things are fallible, make mistakes. I think that is one of the things that's so important about this conversation is that like even though the good side is like the way to go, it still kind of sucks sometimes.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that it's absolute good. It's like as good as you would think you could get. You know,
And I think that's like a whole thing with the end of the series, because you see Gandalf saying like, I am good. And then also Galadriel kind of saying like, I'm not going to fall for this shit. You know, it's just, even though the temptation is right
there.
She's
like, I've dated a fuckboy before. I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah.
Celeborn, he's not that bad. So it's just, you know, it's just seeing how like, you know, and that's what Nori says to him is like, you are good. It's the choices that you make. That's, you have the choice to be good. That's, you know, you are choosing to be good. And that's when he says, like, I am good.
Yeah, that's...
So it's just about the choices that you make.
I like the moment where Gandalf, like, makes all the trees surround all of the Harfoots to protect them from evil. And then he's like, we are good.
Yeah.
And
oh, God. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I love how that also references that personal conversation they had on the side of the mountain where she talks about perils, and he's like, I am peril. Oh no. And he's like, she's like, no, you're good. Like all that to me, when I heard that, even though it was fucking rough at the timing and the that's immediately what I thought of was the reference to that conversation, because you know,
it wasn't like a yell line. Like, if honestly, if he had just done the thing and not said anything and then whispered afterwards, like, I am good. That would have played better than
that would have totally been
good. To himself. Good. Yeah, to himself. Yeah. That would have played better than the, yeah. Oh, I am good.
I think they were trying to mimic the, you shall not yeah. pass. I'm like, sure no, that's not, work. You're not that level yet, bro. Work. Stop it. Stop
like,
it.
You need like several level ups.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, at least a Balrog. We're
not,
come on.
We're not doing oh, fetch. Like, no, we're not doing I am good.
No, absolutely not.
But yeah, I just feel like they were trying, that was totally a pandering. Yeah. Line at that the way that was delivered, it was like, yeah, oh, it was yeah. terrible.
And that is one thing I would say, like one negative thing I have to say about the show is that the writing was a little clunky.
Yeah.
And they yeah. are sometimes trying to make too many callbacks to the Lord of the Rings. But otherwise, I think it was fun. It was enjoyable.
Yeah, it was a good yeah. show.
I think that the writers realized during this process, and you know, part of this was it started during COVID. I think that during this process, they realized the grand scope of what they were trying to attack. And I truly believe that going into the next season, I think we'll see the show like really come into a fruition of like, there's no like wasted scenes. There's no wasted dialogue. I think when I see eight episodes, I expect no filler. I expect consistent because it's only eight yeah. episodes.
All killer.
If it's 12 episodes. Yeah. All killer. If it's 12 episodes. Okay. I expect a filler. If it's eight, I'm like, no, fuck that. I want bam, 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 bam. And I literally think with season two, we're going to get nonstop fucking, you know, badassery
and
across the storylines.
I would tend to agree completely because one of the things that maybe turned some people off to this first season is what's going to set up the second season to be so badass is that there's a lot of heavy lifting. It's a lot of conversations yeah. about this is where people are. This is who is who, where this is what's
it
going
was
on.
Yes. Grand scheme.
It's
grand
a lot
scope.
Of setup. It's a ton yeah. of setup. So the second season is going to have that established so we can just kind of like hit the ground running. And some of the best sequels take advantage of that not being like that it's all established in the
no,
first.
No more story building. Yeah. No more storyboarding. Yeah. Excuse me.
Because I think you have to do like a lot of story building, but you know, like, going back to, you know, we've made so many Q jokes, but that's some a thing that I think is just such an important thing right now is, and one of the overarching things of the series is, you know, it's a line Gandalf says to Frodo in Fellowship is, you know, it's not, you know, yeah, we're living in dark times, but it's the thing that you choose, you know, to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
That was
that's
a theme through the whole series. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
the season
theme
one,
the
whole
theme.
Series. Yeah.
And that's the whole thing.
There's something
and
poetic about us recording this yeah. before the midterm election.
Oh, tomorrow.
like
the yeah. night
literally
yeah.
an hour
tomorrow,
before the day yeah. of the election.
Yeah. 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 But it is, it's oh. just, it feels like oh. it does have that theme where it's like, yes, there are things. And then you see like, you know, things like small people like hobbits, you know, who make such a huge difference at the end.
Aww.
So I think, yeah, it's just, you know, because like at the end, it's a hobbit who throws the, well, I mean, if you want to get technical about it, it's got Gollum.
Who was a hobbit. Yeah. He was a hobbit.
River
he
still
was a
fucking
hobbit.
Hobbit.
At one point yeah, until still the hobbit. Ring corrupted him. So yep. it's just so much, you know, corruption. Things fall and men falling, but it's just has such a beautiful overarching thing is that out of darkness, so much light, you see the light that comes, and then, you know, just people, small, even just small creatures as hobbits can make such a huge difference.
Yep.
So I think that's why I've loved the story so much, like everything that he's done.
Yep. I completely agree. This is where I get back to what I was saying before is that like this is not my genre. None of this is my genre. I am a very much a human interest story. I am the resident mush of GUI. I've just self-appointed, you know. I'm fine with it. But the thing about it is, okay, so real quick, one way that I kind of like live my life is there's so much bullshit surrounding us and there's so much that we just like instinctually feel. And I think one thing that gets me through the day is I heard this thing a million years ago where the first thing that you think is what you've been conditioned to think. The second thing that you think is who you are. So if your first instinct is to judge or to make an impression about somebody, that's just what you've been conditioned to think because that's the way that the world works. And there's a lot of judgment and there's a lot of hatred. But the second thing that you think is really like what makes
correcting.
You a person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you lean into it or if you lean against it. And I think that that's like where we land with Galadriel in this, is that she definitely has the instinct to be like, I have the power. I could do it. I could corrupt. And what I think is really cool about this story is that I will always say that Sam is the best character ever written.
Absolutely.
In my opinion.
Oh God.
And Sam seems really perfect, like from the surface, but he is not understanding at all what Frodo is going through the whole time. And he makes a lot of like base judgments and is just fully like, I don't fucking get it. Like, what are you doing? But his second instinct is always to help. And that's who he is.
I think his second instinct is always to trust. He trusts Frodo.
To trust, yeah.
But he also trusts the relationship. Like, he knows what he's supposed to be doing, and he does it. And that's what makes him the hero of the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
He's the hero.
To touch back on that, too, yeah, I would say that we see the first impression versus actually, you know, what you've been taught or experience versus, like, what makes you. We I'm going to bring the Ents back, but like when they first enter the woods, he picks them up and is like, Hobbit? Like, they've never heard of a Hobbit. And this also touches to your statement about this race is actually who saves the day. Mm-hmm. It's a race that people don't even know about.
Yep.
And all people think about is, this is orc tomfoolery. This is orc tricks. Mm-hmm. And then the second thought is like, no, you're good people. Mm-hmm. And then they like follow into battle at Saruman's castle.
Yeah.
Right. But it follows through everybody when they find out what a hobbit is. They don't trust it. And then their second thought,
because they're too pure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then their second thought is like, oh no, this is okay. We need to follow this motherfucker.
That's legit.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And that's why I love Sam so much, is because he was the one ring bearer who was never corrupted.
Nope.
Yeah, never. That's why he's so pure.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All of it, Middle Earth is so fucked that the person that's nice, everybody's like, I'll follow you into war. Like, the Ents are like, yeah, these guys seem cool. Like, I'll follow you into war. Like, the Hobbits are nice, and Gandalf's like, here's the most powerful thing in the world. Good luck. Like, even in this, the dwarves are ruled by like the prince or whatever, being like, I mean, this elf's a pretty good dude. Like I don't want his people to die. Yep. Like, fucking, I mean, he's pretty nice. So that's the be all of Middle Earth, is just like, if you're a good dude, people will fucking go to war for you, is what I've learned from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, 100%.
But on that, we are at the tail end. We have one last little bit to do before we are complete. We have some people's favorite, some people's least favorite thing on the show. We're talking about making a drunken scene.
Making a drunken scene.
All right, so I put it on our text, group text, and we some monitors as well. We've got two scenes from Rings of Power, actually. Thank you to the nerds that update IMDb's quotes for doing this for us. The first one is from Theo and Galadriel.
Oh, such a good scene.
I'll do Theo.
Do a Galadriel?
I'll do Galadriel.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'll do one of the hair foots.
No, Galadriel's like final bout in this is fucking awesome.
All right, cool. And then, yeah, you and I are going to do the Harfoot. Harfoot.
Harfoot.
Harfoot. So starting with Theo, whenever you're ready.
I've killed orcs before, you know.
Yeah, well, when I was your age, there was no such thing as orcs.
And now, how many have you killed?
Many.
Good.
I would not use such words.
Why not?
It darkens the heart to call dark deeds good. It gives place for evil to thrive inside of us. Every war is fought both without and within. Of that, every soldier must be mindful.
Oh, shit.
Duh.
That was improv.
Boy, they do talk pretty in the Middle Earth.
Oh, fuck me up.
As beautiful as that scene was, like, it also, like, I like that it was bratty. I think that was, mm-hmm. I think that was very, mm-hmm. very good.
All right, now we're going to be playing the characters that would be in the back tent area of Coachella, the Harfoots.
The Poppy and the Nori.
Yeah, selling flowers and mushrooms to everybody.
And homemade soap.
And homemade soap.
Homemade soap. Yeah.
So, which one are you going to be?
I'll do Nori.
Nori, I'll be Poppy. Nori. So here we go.
What, Sansa, is it sticking your neck out for him any more than you already have?
There's head sense and poppy, and there's heart sense.
Heart sense. There's common sense and known sense. And if you're all out the first, then you can borrow some of mine.
Rather than borrow some statures out that book instead, and you're going to help me, or would you rather listen to Mama that it was you who put fairweed into your tomb cream?
I'm going to edit that later, and it's just going to be a bunch of...
Are you doing a Minnesota thing?
I don't need
you. Oh, like, we have not. No one. No, you, we have not dared to try that yet.
You went like slightly. Haven't like, done that. Appalachian Southern into Scottish. Like,
gotta get the oi. Well,
that's
like,
that's all my.
Dude, yeah, one of us. I don't care who does it. One of these, we have to do William H. Mason from Fargo.
Nice.
Or, you know, definitely. Fucking, God.
Like
oh, boy. Oh, that's a doozy.
This is all my hair.
That scared the dickens out of me. Oh, that darkness. Oh, boy.
Imprisoning me. All that I see.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolute Morgoth.
Oh, my God.
I cried this episode.
it's a new thing on GUI that Audrey did not cry at the
I
end.
Did not cry this episode.
Yay.
Last episode, that was an emotional wreck.
Yeah, that got really emotional. So on that note, thank you so much for sticking around for this. That was a really fun episode talking about Rings of Power. Rings of Power, yes, it has some. It's a little slow. It's a lot, but I'm really excited what it's setting
learning
up.
Learning curves, and it had learning curves.
If I remember correctly, it's already been booked for 5 seasons. So I'm really excited.
Wow,
to see.
Wow, what?
They committed to 5 seasons. So
that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't see how season 2 is not going to fucking just.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm in. Like, I'm fucking in.
If I live long enough to see 5 seasons, no shit. What's that going to be?
But let's see how this goes. I had a really good time. I'm really excited, kind of where the direction's going with everything, and I hope you guys are. Listening. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for the Creepazoids for the intro and outro of this episode with Dead by Dawn. Make sure to rate, review, subscribe, all the things you do for podcasts, and check out GUIpodcast.com for all the other shows in the network. We'll find you next time for another episode. I'm Mike the Hobbit. Harfoot.
Oh,
I'm Mike the Harfoot. And what?
I said I was lowdown until you got stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Harfoot.
Join us or die. Join us or die. Or I will swallow your soul.
GUIpodcast.com.